You know, I've been doing a series on the I Am's of John, the book of John. What a beautiful lesson this has been for me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Today is part five. It's I Am the Light of the World. And before we open our Bibles to John the 8th chapter, verse 12, I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for how you bless us, how you're so patient with us, and how you've been with us through our Sabbath school and through this part of the service too. And now, Lord, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit even more now as we open your sacred word together and look at what you meant by, I am the light of the world. Use me in spite of me, Lord, so when all is said and done, we will leave here changed because we heard Jesus and because we saw Jesus. This is my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. And we're going to look at just verse 12. I want all the children to take their Bibles too. I hope you brought them children. And turn to the 8th chapter of John as we take a look at one verse in particular and figure out today what Jesus meant when he said, I am the light of the world. So take a look at John 8, verse 12. And here's what Jesus spoke. You all have John 8, 12. Everyone turn to it. Okay. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I bet you all know who that guy is right there. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? That's Larry King, and he used to be the host of Larry King Live, quite a popular program in which he interviewed top names around the world and asked hard questions, was a tough guy. I never forget one time I was watching CNN and I was watching Larry King Live, and I wonder if anybody else here remembers, heard about this or watched it. And here in his program, he had a well-known rabbi. He had a very famous atheist. He had a well-known evangelical, a well-known Catholic priest, and I don't know, somebody else. And they were in a discussion about religion, you know, and all of a sudden, the conversation all focused on the evangelical believer because all of them were upset that they hold firm to the teaching in the Bible that no one comes to the Father but by me. That's Jesus Christ. And they looked at him and said, do you really believe that? Well, yes, that's what it says in the Bible. And I'm starting to get a little squeamish here, and it isn't because they're challenging him, it's because the next question naturally follows, and that's, what about someone who doesn't know Jesus? And his answer was, the Bible says, no one comes to the Father but by me. And I'll tell you, my friends, it sort of hung right there. And all the rest of them looked at him. Of course, I know in the other group's mind, there are many paths to God. And I don't agree with that, okay? But I did not like the answer that this man held to, and the sermon today will tell you why. So let's see exactly what Jesus meant when he said to us, I am the light of the world. And in order to discover that, I want you to take your Bibles and let's begin in Genesis, the very first chapter. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And remember, our whole point today is what did Jesus mean when He said, I am the light of the world? Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first thing that Jesus meant when He said, I am the light of the world. Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning was the first day. So what did Jesus mean when He said, I am the light of the world? First of all, let's look closely at this. In this verse passage that we just read, we've got God, says created the heavens and the earth, and we got the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep. But where's Jesus? The light. In fact, you've got to stop and think, wait a minute, on the fourth day of creation, God made the moon, sun, and stars in order to lighten the earth. So if He did that on the fourth day, what in the world was He talking about the first day? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In other words, when Jesus uttered those words, He was saying that He is one with God. He is the Creator. In fact, let's take a look at John, the very first chapter. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Here's a section of Scripture that is so simple to memorize and so powerful that I would wish everybody has it memorized. And maybe you do already. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, what? Was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who's that talking about? Jesus is the Creator, we're told in the New Testament. In fact, it says clearly in John 3, 1, 3, it says nothing was made that was made by the Word. Everything created was created by the Word. And so when we go to Genesis 1, we clearly see, let there be light. When Jesus arrives on the scene, creation takes place. The Father's there. The Spirit is there. And Jesus is there. And so when He stood before the people and said, I am the light of the world, the very first thing He was trying to let them know was that He is one with God. He is the Creator of all things. Isn't that incredible? In fact, let me give you some additional information. By the way, my mind is whirling. There are so many New Testament scriptures that make it clear that Jesus was not a created being, but He was the one that created all beings. But take a look what it says in Revelation chapter 21, 23. As we look at this very first meaning of I am the light of the world. And that is that He is one with God. Jesus was declaring His oneness with God. How can we be sure this is right? How can we be sure that when Jesus showed up there was light? Okay, do you have Revelation, the last book of the Bible? The second to the last chapter in the Bible, verse 23. Look what it says. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the what? The Lamb is its light. And what's this talking about? The New Jerusalem, when the earth is made new, and all of sin is done with. And there's no longer any rebellion in existence in the world at all. Jesus, we'll find out later on in the book of Revelation, The Father in heaven moves His capital city from wherever it is out there down to this earth. And guess what? There's no need of a sun. There's no need of a moon because the Lamb is its light. So let there be light. Jesus showed up on the scene because He is one with the Father. And under the power and the use of the Holy Spirit, creation took place. But let us also double check this as we look at Revelation 22, verse 5, the last chapter of the book of the Bible. And verse 5, and it clearly says this, there shall be what? No light there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So folks, number one, what did Jesus mean when He said, I am the light of the world? Jesus meant that He was one with God. He is the Creator. Number two, let's take a look at Luke 2, verse 11. Luke 2, verse 11. So take your Bibles as we try to determine the second thing that Jesus was telling the people when He said, I am the light of the world. First Luke 2 and then Matthew 2. Okay, you got Luke 2? Get your fingers all nimble. Keep moving through your Bible. Try not to rush. I get excited. Calm down, Neri. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, I'm not going to say anything until we look at Matthew 2:1. Matthew 2:1. But I think you know where we're going by now. I sure hope you do. This is so familiar to all of us, and you'll say, but Pastor, this isn't December. That's okay. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His what? We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. And when the angels came and told the shepherd, we're told they lit up the whole landscape all around and spoke and sang and told them that a Messiah is born. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, the second thing He was telling the people was He was telling them, I am the Messiah. I am the one that prophecy spoke of, that the star indicated and directed to the person who would be the Messiah. I am the light of the world. And so we clearly see here as we move along. Oh, I want to look at these verses, by the way. Let's look at Luke 2:32. We'll go back to Luke. Go back to Luke. And notice what it says here. Now, when Jesus was born and His mother brought Him to be dedicated to the sanctuary, you remember Simeon was there. In verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was what? Upon him. And he was told, go there and wait, you're going to see the Messiah. And Jesus comes in. And he immediately, the Spirit tells him, this is it. He runs to that family and takes that baby. And folks, I want to tell you this. I want you to get this. I want you to compare the loving, tender, thoughtful handling and respect that Simeon took that baby in awe and lifted it up before the Lord and praised God because here was the deliverer of Israel. And a short time later, a very stiff and stern priest came up and said, why are you here to dedicate the baby? Is he 8 days old? Okay, give him to me. Lord, here's a new baby. They told me his name is Jesus. I dedicate him to you. Here you go. Don't forget to put some money in the offering. Thank you very much. I got more people to see. And you know, there are Christians that treat Christianity and God like that. But there are others, and I hope this church is full of them, like Simeon, that with awe and respect, they took that baby in their hands and they said, God, thank you for a Savior. Thank you that He's here. And then Simeon breaks out into prophecy. And to cut it short, in verse 5, he says this. Oh, he says, where am I? Okay, in verse 31. The Lord, now you have let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of the people. A light to bring revelation to who? The Gentile. And glory to your people Israel. Do you know who that is? That's everybody. In fact, the next text I have, John 1:9, I want you to see this. Because here's our answer to that argument that took place, that discussion that took place on national TV, syndicated all over the world. The Larry King Live, in which it was just hanging there when that evangelical just stuck with the fact, unless they know Jesus, they can't get into heaven. Look what it says in John 1, verse 9. That was the true light which giveth light to every man coming into the world. And by the way, do we need to get into discussion who we're talking about here in chapter 1 of John? Who is that? Jesus. The true light. See, he was talking about John the Baptist is going to come and he's going to point to the true light. But he's saying he's not the true light, but Jesus is the true light. And it just so happens he does what? He lightens every single person that comes into this world. Amen is right. And so, folks, there will be people who never knew Jesus who will be in heaven because they responded positively to the light that shined in their heart and in their mind, and in their conscience, and followed it in spite of the fact they didn't know it was Jesus. They will be in heaven. So when it says in the Bible, no man cometh the Father but by me, I want you to tell Larry King and this austere group of individuals that the truth of the matter is there'll be some that never heard of Jesus but act just like Jesus, because they responded to the light given them and they acted the part of a Christian without even knowing Christianity. I'll tell you, that is such a thrilling thought, because my God is fair and just to every single person. No one loses out because of location, genealogy, culture, education. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But every man must respond to that light. So what do we got? We got number one, Jesus was declaring His oneness to God as the Creator when He said, I am the light of the world. Number two, He was acknowledging that He was the Messiah. And then number three, John 3:19. Turn with me there. I'm still at John 1, so a couple pages, John 3:19. What else did Jesus mean when He said, I am in the light of the world? He declared His oneness with God. He was declaring that He was the Messiah. What else was He declaring here? Look what it says in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are what? Evil. Stop, folks. Who created everything? Who created everything? Jesus created everything. And then He came in human flesh to to manifest that light. And notice again, it doesn't say the name Jesus. It says this is a condemnation. That light has come into the world. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. They understood what He was claiming when He said that. And we shouldn't miss it in this day and age and where we're living. The tragedy is the world loved darkness rather than light. And how do we know that? Take a look at the picture. What did His own people do to Jesus? Crucified Him. At that point, do you think He would just pull the nails out of His hands, wash His hands and say, Father, I'm coming back to heaven. I'm done with this group. But He stayed on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because His love is unconditional. Our only hope in the future would be His persistence in obedience to the Father's will. But this world loves light instead of darkness. And so the third thing that Jesus was clearly showing us when He said, I am the light of the world, is Jesus is the only source of light. There are not other choices. It's simple. Hey, take a look at 2 Corinthians. I had to throw this one in because we see why all of this is going on, why the world loves darkness instead of light, by looking at these texts in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm pretty sure some of you have already anticipated this. The whole section is incredible. Verse 13, what does it say? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into what? An angel of light. An angel is a messenger of light, is one who bears good tidings. The angels who showed up to the shepherds on the hillsides of Bethlehem to pronounce the birth of the Messiah. And Satan himself puts on the act of being an angel of light in order to preach his darkness so that the world will love darkness instead of light. And that the world will think there are more choices than just Jesus. In fact, look at the next verse. I can't stop at 14. Therefore, it is no great thing if His ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, let me do some defining here. And you work with me, go home and pray about it if you don't agree. 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, we gotta ask who that is. But before we answer, that 14 is obvious. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So who is this talking about? Satan himself. So who's 13 talking about? Well, let me suggest his fallen angels, his agents. Revelation tells us a third of the angels sided with Lucifer in heaven and were cast to this earth. Well, then who is the third group in verse 15? Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their works. Ministers in the Christian pulpit who will be acting the part of ministers of righteousness, but who are agents of Satan, just like the fallen angels that are his demons that he uses also in his work. Jesus is the only source of life. So what did Jesus mean when He said to us, I am the light of the world, first of all? Oneness with God. I am the Creator. Number two, I am the Messiah. Number three, the only source of light. And number four, the final one. Let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, our beginning verse. Let's look at it one more time. We look at the fourth thing that Jesus meant when He said this, I am the light of the world, so we can better understand where we are. Notice what it says. I want you to look at it, everyone. I want to make sure you got your Bibles. By the way, if you didn't bring your Bibles, please bring your Bibles. This is God's Word. Then Jesus spoke to them again and He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows Me. In number four, He is telling us clearly that we must do what? We must choose. We must choose. You can follow Jesus. You can follow darkness. You can follow the light. You can follow Satan. You can follow the true agents of light and righteousness. You can follow the ones that transform them into agents of righteousness but aren't agents of righteousness. In fact, look at the Greek word for follow. Akoletho. It is the combination of two words. First of all, the A in front of the word means as a particle of union. Get this. This is really cool. It actually, when that letter in this context appears before that word, it implies that it is a particle denoting union. And notice the word, kalethos, to be in the same way, to accompany. Jesus is saying when He said the word, follow Me, He meant I want you to be in the same path that I am. You have to make that choice. There are two paths. How many paths are there? How about three? Only two. How about four? Yeah, that's four. Got to make sure. This would have been four, three and a half. Folks, we got to choose. He wants us to join Him on the path. And notice He didn't say, take my path. He said, join Me. Union. Be with Me on this path. And together we'll follow the light. And yes, sometimes the light may not be exactly what you want. But when you get to where you're going, it will all make sense. And it brings peace, joy, and happiness. Nothing else does that. And so what do we got? When Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Number one, He said, He was one with God. Number two, He's the Messiah. Number three, He's the only source of light. And number four, we must choose. Folks, I don't want anybody here today to leave without making that choice. Now, in closing, let me tell you a story I probably already told you, but it bears repeating because it made such an impact on me. This is Poland, and notice in the southern central part, maybe you can see. This is one of the areas. It's called the Upper Silesian Cold Basin. There's Katowice. And right about there is where I was, right there. This is where Mark Finley was holding meetings, and this is where Peter Neary was holding meetings. And I want you to meet my team in Poland. There's my translator, Vlad. And I'm standing there. Don't I look good back then? That was a long time ago. Preaching away in this beautiful church in Poland. Brand new church, just built, and I was the first one to hold a series of meetings there. It was packed every night, and it wasn't because I was there, folks. It was because the Spirit of God moved on their hearts. Now, that gentleman with the mustache is, some of you may recognize him, that's Dr. Tim Arnott, who did the health presentations before my lectures. But I also show you this picture because next to him, that lady with glasses, and notice she's short. There was a nurse that came to our meetings from day one. And almost the very first night, she came up to me and Dr. Arnott, and she said, "Listen," she said, "I'm the nurse of this entire area. If I can get you into the schools to talk during the day, would you have the time to do that?" Would we? Go ahead. And we got call after call. We were going school after school. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, Lord, this isn't like the United States. I can walk into the school and talk about God without being criticized or kicked out. And that's exactly what we came to do. And what I thought was really unique is we discovered at the high schools, they're associated with industries. And so one of them that I really enjoyed was that they go to school in the morning and it's associated with greenhouses. And in the afternoon, they go in the greenhouses and they work. And of course, I don't know if you know this, but in the Eastern Bloc countries, they just love flowers. They're always giving out flowers. And so I got to, when you're all done, it's like you're somebody special. Well, Evangelist Neary and Dr. Arnott, we want you to tour our, you know, our greenhouses. Oh, did we? And flowers, just gorgeous, you know. And then we got a phone call. And our little intrepid nurse, man, she said, "I got you an appointment to go speak for the high school at the coal field." And by the way, I don't remember the name of the coal company. Jenny doesn't know this. I pulled down all the pictures that we have stored away and tried to find some of the coal mine. I couldn't find it. But I blurted out before I thought, "Oh, sure, we'll come and speak as long as they'll take us down in the coal mine." Forgetting that I got claustrophobia. She said, "Okay, I'll check and see." Now, you know in the United States what they would say. Tell me. "No, you're not going there. We got all kinds of legal issues and we'll get sued and you know." And she called back. She said, they said, "Yes." "Okay, this is great." And so we went to the high school. We spoke in the morning. They ushered us into the administrative offices of the coal mine there. And they gave us tea and chatted like we were dignitaries or something, and then they said, "Okay, it's time to go." And they took us downstairs, and we had to take all our clothes off, and we had to put all this coal mining stuff on. And I'm in the process of doing this. All this stuff. I mean, we had headgear, and we had a big pickaxe, and we had a battery here, and over here we had a methane indicator, and I had the belt that held all that, and I had to put on socks and boots, their boots, and these overalls that I put on. And we're walking out in a line. And here, by the way, is this little tiny nurse with tall Dr. Arnott and myself and Vlad, my translator. And we're walking out, and here are all these coal miners are leaning against the walls, taking a break, and their faces are completely black except for where their glasses were. And I'm walking down, and all of a sudden I thought, it's dark down there. We're going to go, what, a mile straight down, and then we're going to go a mile and a half in on a railroad car that's this high, and we'll get down in it like that. And I started thinking, I don't think I can do this. And so I'm walking, and I'm looking at the little nurse, and she's, you know, walking along, and Dr. Arnott, and I'm going, "Lord, what do I do now? I'm scared. What am I going to do?" And I'm telling you, I was so petrified, and I stopped, and I thought, "Lord, I got to tell him. I got to be honest, because I'm here as an evangelist. I can't lie. unless you take this fear away from me right now, I got to tell them we can't go. And we got right to the elevator that takes us 1 mile down to where the train is waiting, a special train that we sit in and then go on 1.5 miles in before we get off and walk the rest of the way. And they show us all the workings of a coal mine. And I calmed down. And I was at peace. And I went down the elevator. And I got in the coal train car. One person's, you know, and if I went like this, I would touch the walls on both sides. And the thing is shooting through the tunnel, and it's pitch black. But I had my light on. Till we got to the spot, the location, we walked down. He said, first I'm going to take you to a shaft that has been played out so I can explain things, and then I'm going to take you to the shaft way over here that they're currently working. And when we got down to the shaft, he explained everything that was worked out. And then all of a sudden he said, now I want you all to turn your lights out. And I thought, turn the lights out? There are no lights there, folks. Okay, this isn't a lit up atrium full of palm trees. I turned that light off and I have never seen black like that in my life. And my heart began to pump. And I thought, how long until he says, turn the lights back on? And I mean, the panic began to well up. And it was like an hour later, he said, turn your lights on. Probably it was 5 seconds, but... And, he said, turn it on. I already hit the switch. That light was so warm. So inviting, so comforting, so peacemaking that I thought, I will never forget this. And as I prepared this sermon, I thought to myself, I need to share this with you again. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, I am the light of the world. And so, my friends, he is one with God. He is the Messiah. He is the only source of light. And we must choose to follow Him. And I invite everyone today to make that choice before you walk out the door. Father, I want to thank You for the call to our hearts and minds, because You're a patient, loving God that gives us yet another invitation. And I pray You would help us, that we would say yes to You. And with that yes, the light would flood into us, Lord, like it did down in that shaft, deep in the earth, down there in Poland, Lord. And that it would also bring insight, so we begin to see the darkness that is around us and surrounding many of our friends and loved ones. And instead of condemning, Father, that we could share with them the glorious light that's found only in the face of Jesus. So let this happen to each one of us. And let the Paradise Church shine the brightness of Jesus in Him alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.